Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are chatting with Brian London, editor of the Gold Newsletter, also our host down at the New Orleans Investment Conference, which hopefully I'll be able to make it down to this year, Brian. Trust me, I want to make it down. It just depends on some of those travel restrictions that is even more impossible to predict than even the market. So let's chat about the markets and about gold. Because it seems like everybody who follows gold is also closely following the Fed rate hike expectations. Rightfully so. The Fed does still have a very heavy and sometimes supportive hand for these markets. But right now, even after the minutes that we saw earlier this week, the Fed is going to start hiking rates this year. And they could even start hiking rates in March. This can, or usually does, have an impact on the gold price. And a lot of people have pointed to the recent past where the Fed has started hiking rates, and that's actually put a bottom in the gold price, and gold has rallied after those rate hikes. Brian, what's your assessment of how gold's going to react as we approach closer and closer to these upcoming rate hikes?
Well, thanks, Corey. And yes, I do hope you'll be able to make it this year to New Orleans instead of teasing us like you did this past year. I think it's going to be the travel restrictions. I think it's actually easier to predict that. I think the travel restrictions will ease once you get past this Omicron wave. And I think it's going to be a great event in person. Look forward to having y'all down there. But I completely agree with what you just said regarding gold. We're in a situation right now, very similar to what we had back in 2015, where everyone was starting to predict and expect, and we're getting an idea of the timeline for the first rate hikes, yet gold was dropping and other markets were dropping as well, going into that initial rate hike. But once the rate hike actually happened, then that trade of shorting gold going into that event basically ended for a lot of the speculators, and they kind of released the selling pressure on the metal and the futures markets, and gold actually rallied. I mean, you'll remember early 2016 through, say, June of 2016, that was one of the biggest moves we've seen since the bear market ended, and very profitable for a lot of us who are invested in the junior mining stocks. So looking forward, that is most likely going to happen again because it has happened in past Fed rate hike cycles when the Fed has attempted to raise rates. Now, importantly, we've seen in past cycles that the Fed keeps raising rates until the market doesn't allow it to go any further. We see a hissy fit put on in the stock market and the Fed is forced to reverse course. That happened in 2018 when Powell was forced to stop and actually begin QE again in late 2019 before COVID even hit. So that is one factor, I think, that will stop the Fed from raising rates to any significant degree going forward. And we've just got to get through this transition period until that first rate hike, which apparently is going to come up sooner than most of us had expected even just a few weeks ago.
Well, Brian, and to that point, the rate hike isn't like a one-off event either. They're planning a series of hikes. A lot of people are expecting two or three. Most people have shifted over to three for this year and then three to four next year. But the point you just made, I think, is very solid in that every single time we've seen this exact same pattern with the central banks, they get to a point where there's a market tantrum or a breaking point where they can't really hike rates much higher before the markets react. And then they're forced to either stop or reverse course and start easing again and start chopping rates back down. So do you think that same kind of pattern will play through again, that will be the real big boost for the precious metals where they get to that breaking point or that checkpoint moment?
Yeah, I do. And I think we saw the first signs of that after the Fed's December meeting minutes were released. We saw sell-offs across the board in equities and every big equity index, and gold actually performed fairly well in light of that. As we talk, you know, that's kind of reverse. Gold is taking a big hit. But yeah, at some point, the markets will say to the Fed, will deliver a message that you have to stop this. And the Fed will respond and will agree and will obey that message. The markets today, the financial markets are not just, and I make this point over and over again, they're not just addicted to easy money. They're addicted to ever easier money. So that means that the Fed will have to stop short at a lower level on interest rates than it did the last time. And when we do have a significant correction or even crash in the equity markets, its efforts are going to have to be even greater than what we saw post-COVID. The addicted markets will need a greater dosage of easy money to get the same effect. And we're going to be stuck in the spiraling cycle going forward. Another factor that I think will stop the Fed much shorter this time than we saw post-2015 is the level of the federal debt right now. And that's a hard stop. That is a barrier that cannot be exceeded at this point in time. I've done the calculations on the interest rates, the effective interest rate on the federal debt. And it's amazing to me. I mean, if you look at what the Fed tried to do the last time it raised rates, it was trying to get to 3%, desperately trying to get to 3%, because that's the minimum level that they would have enough room to cut in the next crisis. They were only able to get to 2.5% because the stock market pitched its hissy fit. What's going to stop it at this point in time is the debt service costs on the federal debt, because the federal debt is much, much larger than it was back then. And at this point, if the Fed gets the Fed funds rate to, say, 2%, that's going to imply an effective interest rate on the federal debt of close to 4%. At the level that the federal debt is today or will be at that point, that's about $1 trillion a year in annual debt service payments. And I just don't think that's politically possible. So the Fed will have to stop short somewhere below 2% on the Fed funds rate, which implies that even if the stock market goes along, we're still going to have negative real rates going forward. In general, that's an incredibly bullish environment for precious metals and tangible assets of all sorts and mining stocks.
Yeah, Brian, there's no way they can ever normalize rates, let's say up to 4 to 6% or 7% where inflation's been tracking without that debt becoming too big of a monkey on their back. But you also brought up the position that, you know, there could be a market correction in that kind of an environment if they push it to that breaking point. And we've heard from a lot of different people that for the gold market to get more generalist investors, for them to find gold, silver, and the mining stocks, that we need to see that market correction. But is it possible that the market could just correct a little bit and trend sideways, but gold and silver could just gain in the markets without there needing to be a giant corrective move? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that if there is some effect of the stock market on gold itself, I think that would be it. I do think we're going to see a big stock market correction at some point to force the Fed's hand, to force it to get back in an easier environment or a reliquifying environment where it pours monetary liquidity back into the markets. But I think that the stock market and gold and precious metals can float higher together on this ocean of liquidity that keeps coming from the Fed and other central banks. So I don't think that sustained weakness, a sustained bear market in equities, is necessary to see gold really take off. I think if we get a sustained bear market in equities that's due to a rapid depreciation in the purchasing power of the dollar, in that kind of an environment, we could see stocks go lower and gold and precious metals go higher. But I don't think a stock market weakness is necessarily a prerequisite for a sustained gold bull market.
Brian, one final point here. We do need to just flatly outline that, look, you look at the trend in the U.S. markets and it's been up. Yes, there's been some corrections in the last time the Fed stopped hiking, yeah, then it did have about a 20% correction, or that's what forced the Fed to stop hiking. We had a 35 to 40% correction in 2020, but after that, boy oh boy, the market has pretty much gone straight up and continues to hold near all-time highs. Gold, though, feels like we've been talking about 1800 all of 2021, and now we're back in 2022, and we're right around 1800 again. That's a big discrepancy, right? Because gold, for the most part, flat. S&P, other U.S. markets continuing to move higher, there needs to be a change in sentiment. Isn't that the key that we're waiting for?
Yeah, I think it is. I think you hit the nail on the head. The sentiment from the generalist investors is still lousy toward gold, and it's backward looking. And, you know, it looks at gold's unimpressive performance in light of the inflation numbers, et cetera, and extends that, projects that into the future. That, of course, is a kind of investing outlook that turns at some point. But in the meantime, we're suffering through, you know, a market where gold should be much higher, but it isn't. That's part and parcel of the fact that today's markets are driven by hot money, by speculative money, by algorithmic trading that follows basically Fed policy. And so we get higher inflation numbers, dramatically higher inflation numbers. And generally speaking, you know, with some notable exceptions, but generally speaking, gold doesn't really respond because investors and the algos are looking at that effect on central bank policy and looking at potentially more hawkish central bank policy as a result of higher inflation numbers. That's going to change at some point. It has to change at some point because we're going to see a rapid depreciation in the purchasing power of the dollar and higher inflation that is not met and can't be met by further constraints on monetary policy. That seems to be an inevitable set of circumstances at some point in the future, a point that's growing closer, but we have to wait for that.
Well, Brian, as we await the generalists to wake up to the precious metals narrative, because they were awake in 2019 and 2020, and some people kind of gave up on the sector to focus on the other sectors that were running, as Corey mentioned. There was no shortage of things going up. But when there are rotations into the precious metals, often they show up in the ETFs first in a passive way, or they show up in the larger producers and royalty companies. And then, as we've discussed before, they trickle down into the developers and then the explorers. But right now we have all these explorers that are waiting to get drill results back that they drilled months ago. We've got development projects that have moved the ball along. They all raised money a couple of years ago, and they're moving their projects forward and de-risking them. Out of all the different mining stocks, what areas are you, or what subsectors are you liking the most right now? Or is there any companies you're liking? What are you doing with your portfolio?
Well, I look for companies that have some resources, but also have some drill results coming up, and or production is being good opportunities. For example, I like Gold Shore Resources. They've got the big Moss Mine project and they're building resources there, but they're also going to be delivering over 100,000 meters of drill results this year. And Minera Alamos is just coming out of some very serious selling pressure from a Cisco and essentially is still trading at those low levels. And I think it's really going to start moving pretty soon as a company going into production. Because I'm not a big time trader, I like to focus on individual stories a lot. So, you know, I don't like to invest typically according to themes. But with that said, I think those are two companies that have two things you want: established value in the ground and drill results or other catalyzing events coming up.
All right, Brian, thank you as always for your time, buddy. This year is going to be so interesting to see what the Fed is capable of doing, how the markets react, and even how this inflation data continues to trend in, because all of those are key factors, I think, for the Fed. And quite frankly, what the Fed does is going to impact pretty much every market. So we do need to pay close attention. And hey, hopefully some of these precious metals stocks broadly start coming back into favor, because they have been pretty unloved throughout the last year and a bit. Brian, thank you as always for your time, man. We'll chat again in another couple weeks.
Got it. Thanks, guys.